Hello, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice. I want to welcome you to this moment of family essence on the Bold Christian Ministry. Thank you for making it and joining us today on Family Essence. I want to say it's a privilege to be in the presence of God again. Of course, in His presence there's fullness of joy. It's always a pleasant moment to be in the presence of God, and I want to welcome you all once again to the Bold Christian Ministry, where we deliver God's word as in a simple, plain language, which we believe that the Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts and lives and to enlarge it and to, you know, go from there so as to be able to bless our lives and make us better Christians and the best in the kingdom of God as it is. So I want to believe that our day is going good. Of course, we are gathered here. Part of the reasons why we gather is to fellowship, together, which is number one, and to get to know one another as well. And of course, there are situations where people they just want to hop in and hop out, which is okay. It's okay, but the essence of fellowship is to build friendship in the kingdom as well. Of course, that's the essence of fellowship. So in case you're joining us for the first time, this is the Bold Christian Ministry, and I want to welcome you to fellowship. And the mandate of the fellowship is to proclaim the love of God and the hope of eternal life through the gospel and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we keep that in mind, and that is the reason why this ministry is established by God. So without wasting time, we'll just delve into the today's meeting, and we would need to pray. It's important that we start the meeting by prayer and we end by prayer. So I want us to bow our heads as we pray together in fellowship. Let's begin to appreciate God. I want to say it's a new year, and it promises to be a great year for everyone. But there are keys that if we must break through this year, if we must receive that which God has in stock for us this year, it is important that we align with what the will of God is for our lives. The times when God gives us direction and, you know, we decide to do our own thing, and then later we discover that this is not working, then we come back. So apart from just obedience to the will of God, obedience to the word of God will give us the benefits that God has reserved for those who will serve Him in faithfulness this year. So this is a new year, and I want to believe God is set to bless us. So let's bow our heads as we pray together. Let's begin to commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. That God, we thank you, we bless your name, because so many people want to see the beginning of the start of this year, but they are unable to do so. We are not better than them. We are not richer than them. We are not. We are nothing. Honestly, we are nothing. We're just privileged by God to count us worthy to be part of this year. We don't know what next year holds, but we know that the promises of God are good to us, and is God is faithful to us. So let's begin to appreciate God for giving us life, for giving us hope, for giving us everything that we currently are right now, everything that we currently have right now. God has been faithful to us. He has been faithful to our families. He has been faithful in our work. He has been faithful. He has been blessing us all year round. It is not by our power. It is not by our mental ability. It is nothing of us. It is just by the mercies of God. It is by the mercies of God. It is by the mercies of God. Let's begin to pray to God. Let's begin to talk to God that, oh God, we thank you. 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 If all you want to say is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. All through these prayers, it's fine. God is just great. He's just a great God, sparing our lives. I mean, sometimes you wake up, you check your life and you begin to, why, how did I hear all these things? And you begin to ask yourself these questions, and sometimes maybe you're driving and then you begin to look at God's faithfulness, and then the Spirit of God begins to rejoice with you in your hearts. It just shows that God is merciful to us. God is merciful to us. And when you receive phone calls, this one is sick, this one is not doing well, this one is lost his job, this one, you begin to look at your life that, who are you? Who are you in the hands of God? That God is faithful to you. So God has been faithful. He has always remained faithful in all his ways and all his doings. Let's appreciate God for giving us life, for making us see the light of this new year, this new season of our lives. Let's begin to appreciate God for his goodness. Let's thank God for making it possible for us to be alive today. It is a privilege. With him, with God, with him are privileges. With him are privileges. Let's begin to bless the name of the Lord. And let's thank God for making it possible for us to be gathered together today in his presence as well, to worship in his presence. It's always a privilege to be in the presence of God. I don't take it, I don't joke with it, because the presence of God is always, there's always a fullness of all joy, fullness of joy, because one word from God can transform your life, one word from God can change my life. So let's thank God for making it possible for us to be gathered together in fellowship in one. Let's begin to appreciate him. It is a good thing to pray. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, which is key to our discussion today. It's important that we get ourselves into the habits of praying, get ourselves into the habits of worship, praying to God all the time, in season, out of season. Whether things are going well, whether things are, you know, not really good, whether things are good, whether things are in all season, always praising God, always praising God, always praising God. Let's thank God for his goodness. Let's begin to pray that as we gather together, that the Lord God Almighty will reveal his mind to us this today, in today's fellowship, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray that God Almighty will minister to our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Our righteous God in heaven, we thank you for today. We want to bless your name for your mercies upon our lives. Thank you for making it possible for us to be gathered together today in your presence. We appreciate you for giving us life and making us see this new year. We are grateful, Lord, unto you for sparing our lives. We give you our praise. Be exalted in Jesus' name. We pray, we asking and trusting you that everything you have in store for us this year, oh Lord, we pray that you will bless our lives in Jesus' name. And the enemy will not take hold of our lives, will not harm us in any way, and will not deprive us of the blessings you have for us this year in Jesus' name. As we gather together in fellowship this day, I pray that you will minister to our lives in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Father, for we know it is done. For in Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. All right. Welcome once again. Thank you for joining us on the Bold Christian Ministry. And I want to say Happy New Year to each and every one of us. For those who were part of the meeting all through last year, of course, God has been faithful. He's always good to us. He has always been ministering to our heart and lives. He has always been blessing us. And We want to rejoice. We want to, we appreciate God for the goodness of God in our lives. And we want to believe that greater things are going to come our way this year in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to appreciate those who are joining us today. And I want to say that it's important that we get into certain habits this year. It's a new year, right? And in a new year, you know, so many people set different expectations. You know, you have a long list of things you hope to execute. Basically, it's a hope. You hope to execute those things, but without the person of God in it, it will be futile. Without having to believe that God is able to do those things, you know, it will not end well. So God will help us to trust in Him, to lean on His promises, and to take His word for the way He has spoken those words to us. He has given us assurance, and then it's a duty to believe in His words, to trust Him, to believe Him. When you believe God, then your faith is activated, and then you will be able to achieve those things that you were unable to last year. That is the essence of trusting God. He has a lot to, we have a lot to benefit from Him. Without pushing further that much, I would like to share with us what God has for us today. And the topic before us, we are going to be looking at that book of James, chapter 5 and verse 16. James, chapter 5 and verse 16, we are looking at the effectual fervent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer. And more often than not, we've come across people who say, I've been praying for years. I've been praying. This thing has not gone. This thing is, you know, the effectual fervent prayer. That's what we're considering today. And like I did say, perhaps you've met someone who basically have been saying that I've been praying for years, things are not working, but even the sinner around me, things are working for them. These are, you know, and all that, you know, you begin to ask yourself, are you the maker of yourself? You are not the maker of yourself. Even God that created the birds, that created the animals, that created those animals that are not human beings, He provides for their needs. So it is not enough for us to say God is not aware of our situation. He is fully aware of our current situation. Perhaps someone may say, all believers are enjoying the blessings. What is going on? How about me and all that? It's because there are in God's ways is not our ways. Some things might be delayed due to certain reasons. And there are some things God just allowed, basically. An unbeliever might be benefiting, might be making money, might be, you know, and all that. And then God allows some things to happen. No, think about it. You have a family, right? If you have a family, you're raising kids, and then one of your kids is proving too difficult to handle. You know, we have, maybe some of us have encountered that before. Maybe we've seen other families who one of their child, maybe a boy or a girl, is proving hard to be corrected. It's not falling in line. It's not in synchronization with the laws of the house. It's not up to par with what is going on. With the parent or with the mother or the father denying the child of daily meal, you won't, even though the child is very, you won't want to do that. So that's the way God works. Sometimes God allows some things to happen, not because he just allowed those things to happen. You won't want anything you create or anything that came out of you to suffer. You won't really want that, right? So that's the reason why. But yeah, I said there are certain periods when those kind of people would need something passionately and it's not forthcoming to them. that's when they will now realize that I think I need a supernatural ability here, because this one is this one, and that's when it starts again. That is where God have the power to transform their lives, to make them, because they will run into an issue and then they will be seeking solutions, and then all solutions will not be available at that period, and then they will don't have an option that to turn to God. That is when they will realize that it is not by power. So perhaps things are working for an unbeliever, you may want to say, but they will definitely run into issues that need supernatural ability that they would not be able to solve. Nobody on earth can solve that problem. Nobody, except God. So I have not seen anyone who wants to be a swimmer that jumped into the river or a pool for the first time and came to declare himself the best swimmer. That you just put your leg in a pool of water and you say you are the best swimmer in the world. It does not happen. We are considering the effectual fervent prayer, and there are a set of words we have to look into here first before we get into that aspect of prayer that we'll be, you know, looking at this afternoon. And it says effectual fervent prayer. We'll read the book of James first, and then we'll look at those words that and their meaning, and then we'll be able to discuss further there. And it says there in James chapter 5, I will be reading from verse 13. It says, there is any among you afflicted, let him, affliction is something that causes pain, that causes someone to suffer, that causes suffering. That's what affliction really means. So is any among you afflicted, let him pray. That's the recommendation for an affliction. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In verse 16, it says there, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It says a righteous man availeth much. Then he gave us an example of Elias, was a man subject to like passion in verse 17, as we are. And he prayed earnestly, that it might not rain. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. The Bible didn't give us the duration of the prayer he prayed. It didn't say he prayed for 1 hour, he prayed for 2 hours, he prayed for 1 month. No, there was nothing like that. Earnestly. So he prayed with everything within him. That's what that means. Everything within him. And he trained not, and for the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. So back up to verse 16, it says, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, when you look at the word effectual, fervent, what does those words mean? When you say fervent, it means the intensity or the passion to which someone exercise something, put something into motion. The passion within that same person, the passion in which you were able to, you know, do, you were able to pull those things into motion. So it's important that we understand this word. Fervent means the intensity. Effectual means that thing you put into motion has the ability to produce results. That means it's effective. So when you put something into motion, you start a car or you bought a car, that car has a potential. Though you might not have started the car, but you check the engine, you check the oil, it has a potential of working. It has a potential of doing something. So that's what those two words means. And then we look at prayer. What exactly is prayer? What exactly is prayer? It it's important that we see prayer as a presentation. For instance, when the Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, he prayed earnestly. It's like making a presentation. God, please hold the rain. Just hold it back for 3 years. Just hold the rain back. You are making a presentation. Now, God would have to check, would have to look at some reasons why those rain, the rain should not fall. You would have to. So prayer is like making a presentation. Someone who needs something so dearly is asking God. Just like the case of a sister who went into church and he told the pastor, he said, if God doesn't do this thing now, I won't come to church again. The pastor said, there's no need. Just, you can as well walk away right now. Because that person does not know God. He does not know how God works. Before the worlds were made, God himself is not the only one that created the world. Even you is not the only one. So when you have something from him, you would have to look at, consult with those that were with him when he made the world, when he created you, when he created us. You have to consult with them. And that's why we find words like according to the will of God, according to the counsel of God, you know. So he has a counsel, he has a will, right? So he has to put those things together before he will be able to answer the prayer. So when prayers are made, prayers are a presentation made by someone seeking divine intervention because there is no further help anywhere. No further help. So you are seeking divine intervention. So you come to God, you make a presentation, and then God begins to, heaven begins to analyze, they begin to look at those things that you said, and they begin to see how it can affect your life. See how it can, just like someone walking into a car shop, or someone would desire to have a house, and he says, he passed through a house, and he said, I desire this house, I must, maybe the house is sold for 2 million or he sold for 500,000, you know, Canadian dollars. And he said, I want this. If that house is not in line with the will of God for your life, if you like, walk from morning till night, you will not buy the house. That is what I'm saying here, that a man can make a presentation to God seeking divine intervention. But God has his own will and he has a way that he answers prayers. So if Elias goes to God and says, hold back the rain, heaven will have to look at, okay, why is this man making this demand? He's making this demand because the people in the land, they fail to serve God. Or he's making this demand because there is in a situation that needs a divine intervention. So there is a need for us to answer this man now. Otherwise, so many things will be affected. Things will not. So heaven begins to analyze. They begin to put things together. That is the way it is. So the Bible didn't give us a duration of how long Elias prayed. Because many of us, we come to God and we say, God, oh yeah, you must, this one. Now, it does not work like that. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. It's just like someone who wants to conduct miracles. People go to church for miracles, right? Some people have been going to church for miracle. They've been going there and all that. Even the words of the minister of God, that they don't believe that word. They don't believe it. You can be in a church for years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And you're trusting God for miracle. But if you don't believe the words of the person God has placed there, if you don't believe anything about that place, nothing will work. You can be there for years. It doesn't matter. So, what I'm saying here is that the effectual fervent prayer, the intensity, the passion to which someone prays, there are possibilities that abound when we pray. And the word used here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So we have to consider that too. Who is praying? Who is praying? The person praying and the personality that the person is praying to. There are two people here. So the person that is offering the prayer, who is that person? Is the person a righteous person or an unrighteous person? So there are things to look at when in the place of prayer, when someone is seeking a divine intervention from heaven to intervene in a situation, it's important that we look at the person praying and the personality that you are praying to. So if the person is a righteous man and is praying to God, right? There are possibilities, basically. Or if the person is an unrighteous person praying to a righteous God, God may decide to allow some things, God may decide not to. In fact, 99% of the time, God is, his ears are closed to those who don't obey him. His ears are closed. So, take for instance, you know, Paul the Apostle, for instance, told Timothy, he said, if you want to understand spiritual warfare, there are two things you have to consider. You have to consider faith. You have to consider a good conscience. So you bring faith to the table and you must have a good conscience. So not someone fighting with someone. You're already fighting. You are doing things that is bad in your workplace. And then you want to go into spiritual warfare. I tell you, this story will not be good. So the place of faith cannot be overemphasized in the subject of prayer. Faith is important. The person that is praying is stand in faith, in the Christian faith, is important. Is he a righteous person or an unrighteous man praying and then eating the whole tables in the house, saying God must answer me? And then he has forgotten that God does not listen. His ears are closed to those who don't obey him. So it's important that we understand these basics, and that would inform our steps in how we approach God, in how we come to God. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The place of faith cannot be overemphasized in the place of prayer. Why are you praying? Do you even believe in the God that you serve? Do you believe it? Do you believe him? Of course, there are tendencies where to want to say, I've been praying this prayer for long, but God is not answering me. And then this and that. If you don't understand, if your walk with God is still at the lintel level, you've not really come to a comprehension of who God is. You might have there is a tendency for you to doubt what God can do. There are tendencies. There are situations when you say, oh, this presentation I'm making now, this thing, it may not work. Now, when you look at the story of Peter, for instance, this one is giving us an example of the story of Elias, you know, who asks for rain, who asks the rain not to, not, who asks it not to rain, who asks God to create the rain again, for the rain to fall again to the ground. You know, that's an example. When you look at the example of Peter, for instance, when Peter was kept in prison and prayers was made in the book of Acts chapter 12, I think in verse 5 to 11 there, you know, the Bible says they were praying without ceasing for Peter while Peter was in prison. They prayed without ceasing, without stopping. Because they are not sure if they stop now. You know, many of us will pray and then we just say, well, I'm tired of this prayer. It's prayer, 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 prayer. Let me go and you pray until you receive answers. You pray until you receive answers. Many of us, we give up. After 2 months, we give up. After 1 month, we give up. After 2 weeks, we give up. Some even give up after some time. You give up. You don't have to give up. Keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing. The Bible says the men, they gathered, everybody gathered, they were praying for Peter. when Peter was held by Herod, they were praying. And what happened? An angel of God showed up. If Peter had decided that this thing, if I'm here, I'm going to, let me help myself. He will, what will block him, even if he escaped the first and second world, the iron gates, he can't break the iron gates. He cannot. The Bible said there was an iron gate that was there. He would not be able to break the iron gate if he decided to say, I want to. So there are situations where divine, a situation when a man sees that he finds himself in a difficult situation and he needs a divine help, you pray until you receive answer. Even though if it looks as if, I've been praying this prayer for 6 months, or nothing is happening. You have to. That, in fact, that moment that you are thinking that I've been praying this prayer, that's when you need to apply the intensity. That means there is an answer that is waiting. Yes, immediately you are thinking, this thing, I've been doing it for 10 months. I've been praying this prayer. It's not. That is when you need to increase the intensity of that prayer. Because there are possibilities when a righteous person engages. It is different when a righteous person is engaged. This is a righteous person engaging and making a presentation to heaven that, heaven, please, consider this request. So when a righteous man comes to God and begins to pray, he already knows, he needs to get faith activated. When he gets faith activated, then other things will fall in line. Faith in God, a man needs to pray in faith in God. You need to believe God, not just praying with mere words. You need to, that personality that you are praying to, you need to believe that personality that he can do that thing. He can. Many of us, some of us, maybe we've come across a situation where we're just thinking about something. Just thoughts, not praying. Just thoughts. You're just thinking, I wish this. And that thing will happen the way we analyze it in our head. That is just thought. You are just thinking. You are mentally presenting. That thing that you are thinking is a presentation to heaven. That I wish I get a promotion next year. I mean, to move up to the next cadre. And then all of a sudden you get to the office the following day or the third day, and then you saw a letter on your table, and then you discover that they've approved your promotion, and then it could be any other thing at all. Prayer is making a presentation. And when somebody is making a presentation to seek divine help, one have to understand that there is a waiting that needs. That waiting is for God to analyze and look at some things. The waiting could take 1 month, it could take 2 months, it could take 12 months, it could take 9 months, it could take 2 years. But God needs to analyze, because God does not, So sometimes he responds immediately. Sometimes it takes some time to check. This person is making this subscription. So are we sure that this thing will not affect 2030 when this person wants to do this, when we want this person to carry out this mission? Because they need to put things in place to make sure that thing does not alter what the will of God for our lives. Prayer is in itself is good. When we pray, God wants us to pray, to come with him, resolving in our mind that we have no other alternatives. It is him and him alone that can solve the problem. But when a man is creating an alternative, say, if I pray now, if this doesn't work, maybe I'll just apply plan B and then go. No, that's not God. When you are coming to God with an alternative, you have displaced God in that arrangement. That kind of person has displaced God in that arrangement. God does not, he wants you to come with no alternative in your mind. No alternative. Maybe someone is sick now, he's on a wheelchair, or he's on is on is probably sick or something, and they say, oh, if I don't, I will keep using this medication. I will keep using this medication until, I don't have a choice, but I have to keep myself alive. And so that person is creating an alternative. When you create an alternative, you have hedged God out of that situation. You've hedged him out. He doesn't want any alternative. He wants us to believe on him. And that's it. When you go to God in prayer, you need to go to him alone with no alternatives. You are not, when you are praying, you are not thinking in your mind. Though the devil may come, he wants to put some things in your mind and all that. Just don't listen. Just you focus on God. That's what it means to have, you are praying with passion because you want an answer for something and you want it. So you pray with no alternative, no, because you believe the God that you serve can help you out in that situation. There is nothing difficult for God to do. You are not thinking, my help is going to come from this angle. This one is going to, no. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe him. How the answer will come is left for him. You don't have to be thinking for God, okay, this arrangement. No. What it means to pray fervently is meant to pray with all intensity, with everything in us. Everything. That when you finish that prayer, you know that, I prayed this prayer. I prayed again. Remember, the Bible didn't give us an idea of how long Elias prayed. He didn't tell us he prayed for 3 months. He didn't tell us. The Bible only used the word earnestly. Earnestly. The Bible said he prayed again. He didn't give us the duration. But I know it is still earnestly. So it's important for us to understand who God is and his power and what he's able to do. So God is able to rescue us and he's set to do things in our lives if we allow him, if we pray with all passion, intensity, and believe that the prayer we are praying has the ability to produce results. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. So that's the subject for today. Effectual, fervent prayer. So how do we pray that we come to a new year? How do we exercise ourselves in prayer? How do we even covet prayer? You make your presentation. Like I did say, prayer is making a presentation. You go to God. God, I'm in need. This is the situation. You know my situation. I can't help myself. If I can help myself, I won't come to you. But this is the situation. Can you just consider my situation? Those people that seek miracle from Jesus, they were helpless. They were hopeless. They don't have any alternatives. And that's the way God wants us to come to him. And I pray that as we do this year and we begin to exercise ourselves in prayer, God will begin to send his angels and he will begin to answer our prayers himself in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage us that this year holds good things that God has promised his people. And we should believe in the word of God. Believe in God, believe on his words, and believe when those words are spoken to us. That is the only way. And let's begin to walk in righteousness, in obedience, in accordance to his will. That's when those results will come to us. And I want to believe God will bless us in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray to God. Let's begin to appreciate God for speaking his words to us today. Let's thank God because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. We know that God is able to bless our lives. We know that God is able to enrich us. We know that God is able to provide for our needs. And I pray that as we continue to engage him God is faithful. He will answer according to his will and according to his purpose for our lives in Jesus.